Well, good morning. Grab your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter number 22. 1 Chronicles, chapter number 22. As Brother Ron mentioned, our pastor is over with the church plant there, Vision Baptist Church on the east side of Cleveland. So excited for them today as they have their charter service. Just a lot going on. And you've had a part in that. You've had a part in that through your giving. Many of you have had a part in that through canvassing and going door knocking with them. Many of you have had a part in that financially by giving to the work here, and that has been a blessing. Let's go ahead and state the obvious. If you are like my children at all, and you think it's funny when your dad's voice squeaks, go ahead and get all your giggles out now, because my voice is going to squeak a little bit. I came down with a little bit of a cold Thursday and kicked it by late Friday, and went out and had a wonderful time of fellowship out at the Chitsies with some of our adult Bible fellowships, and I was screaming and carrying on like a child and having fun. And my voice is suffering this morning, so I apologize for that. I've tried to drink lots of warm water to soften that, and if it's anything like this morning, the 9 o'clock hour, my voice will squeak. And if you're prone to giggle, just pinch yourself in the thighs so you don't giggle while I'm preaching. That would be distracting, more distracting than my squeaking voice. I promise you that. But I'm excited. Listen, there are many capable men who can preach. I know that. I don't take this lightly, that God has given me an opportunity to preach. I look around this auditorium this morning. There are more than capable men who can preach, and God's given me an opportunity. And the burden of my heart is to share what God's done with me and through this passage. So let's pray and ask God's blessings to help us through this. Again, as we get into the message, we'll share some more things that God has shown us through this text. But before we do that, I want to remind our church family, pastor's not here, so we can talk about him without him knowing it. I promise you, he's not tuning in to listen to me preach. I know that. So October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Wouldn't it be special if we just loved on him so much that he got embarrassed? Wouldn't that be good if we just made him blush, just how much we loved on him? He'll be the first one to tell you that our church takes very good care of him, and we're thankful for that. We praise the Lord for that. Many of you faithfully give to make that possible. Some of you go above and beyond. I've seen your acts of love towards our pastor, and it's much appreciated. It's an encouragement to me and to our family as you see how we love on our pastor. But can I encourage you this month, do something special for Pastor Pete. Write him a note, send him a card, give him some money, give him a Baptist handshake, take some money, put it in your hand, go shake his hand, and then you leave it with him. Give him a gift card. Do something special. Put a note on his door. Wouldn't that be nice if he came out of his from his office and his car was just stuck with all kinds of little notes on there, how much we appreciate him. But do something special for him. I know that'll be an encouragement as we celebrate. Pastor, God has been good to us. He's been good to our church to give us three wonderful pastors. You go across this land, you won't find that. It's very rare. And God has been good to us. So let's do that. Let's do something fun for him as the Lord gives you liberty to do so. 1 Chronicles chapter number 22. I want to read a few verses here titled The Message, Am I Seeking God? Am I seeking God? And as I wrestled with this and as I prayed about it and began to ask the Lord what we would preach, I've heard preachers come in and they'll say, well, you know, as I was doing my personal reading, God just gave me a message, and that's happened, but never really distinctly the way about 3 weeks ago, I was doing some reading, and this was my prayer as I sat down. I said, God, give me something today. Give me something today in my reading. I didn't know where the Lord was going to lead us. I said, give us something today that we can preach on Sunday, on October the 10th, and what do you know what? God brought us to this passage, and I've had a chance to meditate on it. I've had a chance in many ways to apply it to my own heart, and it's revealed some things that I'm not proud to say, but it's revealed some things that my heart needs to be set, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. But I hope it'll be an encouragement and a help to you. Can I just tell you straight from the beginning today, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you came to the right place. If you don't know Christ as your Savior today, we're going to talk about the Lord. We're going to talk about what it means to be saved, and we want to be a blessing to you. And we know this, that the Bible tells us that Paul planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. And what that means, that's just a natural course of events. A seed gets planted, it gets watered, it's going to grow. And maybe God's been working in your heart. Maybe God has planted a seed in your heart, and someone has come along, and they've loved you with the gospel, and they've watered that seed. And maybe you've had some questions, and things haven't quite come together, but it very well could be that God brought you here today so that he could give the increase. And we're praying. That's our desire today. I know we're in the Old Testament, but I hope you understand this. All through the Old Testament, the law and the prophets were always pointing to Christ. They were never above and beyond Christ. They were always pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're certainly going to see that today in our text. There it goes. Don't you giggle. You'll distract me, all right? Am I seeking God? Am I seeking God? That is our question today. More specifically, we could drill down a little bit and say, what does it mean? What does it mean to set my heart and to set my soul to seek the Lord my God? 1 Chronicles chapter number 22. Let's begin reading verse number 17 down through verse number 19. I'll be pausing throughout to get a drink of water as well. All right, sorry for the slurping too. Boy, we all kinds of apologies today. We're off to a great start. All right, verse 17. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, now understand that David is at the end of his life. He's at the end of his reign as the king. And he's trying to set some things in order. He's trying to take care of some things. Some of you parents, you know what I'm talking about. You know when you drop your child off at college. You know when you drop them off for the first time at summer camp. You know when you've had these, maybe some of you, maybe it's the first day at kindergarten as you try to fight back the tears. Come on now. We've seen you do that. And you're trying to set some things in order. Like, don't embarrass us. Be nice. Don't bite anyone. Heavens, please. I mean, it was kind of uncomfortable when I had to tell Seth not to bite anybody in college. David's at the end. In many ways, he's speaking from his heart. You're hearing the heart of the king today. David also commanded all the princes of Israel. These are the leaders. We find them in all throughout the early Old Testament, specifically Numbers chapter 1. These are men who've been set up as leaders in the 12 tribes. In many ways, David would speak to them, and then they would convey that message back to the tribes of Israel. Okay, those of you that work on a bus, if something needs to be communicated, we communicate it to the bus captain. The bus captain then communicates it to the runners and the workers and the drivers, all these things. That's how this has fallen out here. David also commanded all the princes of Israel. We'll talk about that word also. We'll come back to that because he already commands Solomon. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you?" Now, can we just pause for a moment as we read this verse? I want you to ask these questions to yourself. And that's our desire. Listen, we're not here for a history lesson. We're here to take the living word of God and apply it to our lives where we are today, because it's just as relevant as the day it was written as it is today. And as we read verse 18, we have to ask ourselves, we have to begin to reason with David and find some commonality here in this verse number 18. He says, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand. And the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built in the name of the Lord." Let's pray, ask God's blessings upon the reading of his word as we get into the message. Our Father, we've come to this place to lift up your voice, lift up your name, to praise you, Lord, with song and with voice. And it seems somewhat silly that I'm calling on my voice to praise you because I don't feel like I have the voice that I want. But Lord, these things have happened and we recognize that. So God, our desire today is that you would help us to focus on the word of God. Help us not to be distracted by the things of this world. Help us, Lord, not to be distracted by my stuttering, my stammering, my squeaky voice. But God, help us, Lord, to in many ways come to a point in our life, a place in our life where we say, this is the day. This is the day that I began to really set my heart and my soul to seek the Lord my God. This is the day that I made a commitment for the Lord. There's some husbands in the room today, and they need to grab their wives and they need to make a commitment together to set their heart and their soul to seek the Lord. There's some dads in the room today. God, they need to come together in front of their children and humble themselves and say and make a commitment to you and their children as their witness that this was the day that they began to truly set their heart and their soul to seek the Lord their God. There are some wives and some mothers in the room today. Lord, they've set their hearts and minds on other things. This is the day that they can make a decision to set their heart and soul to seek you. There are some single people, some young people, some empty nesters. There are some senior saints, some widows and widowers. In many ways, they've led this way ahead of us. But God, I pray that you'd fix our resolve this morning. God, that we would recognize our need to set our hearts and our souls to seek the Lord our God. Lord, that you'd be pleased in everything that's said and done today. Pray for vision. Lord, we're so excited for them. What a great blessing it is to be involved in the ministry and many ways seeing the gospel being propagated throughout the world through missions, but here locally, Lord, because you put a burden in someone's heart and soul to, in many ways, they set themselves to seek you, and you've led them to start a work. Thank you for Brother Brad and Brooke. Bless their family. Bless their day today. Thank you for our pastor, Lord, how we could go on and on, just how much we're thankful and we're blessed to call him our pastor. We understand he's a man like anyone else. He'll be the first one to tell you he's not perfect, but God, he's the perfect pastor for us, and we're thankful for it. So, Lord, I pray that you would get the honor and glory today. Bless the message. Help us now. God, please help us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have to ask myself, as I began to read this, and I began to ask myself, God, am I really seeking you? Am I really employing my heart and my soul to seek you as my Lord and my God? And as I began to study it, the Lord began to show some things to me to be a great help to me, and I hope they'll be a help to you. David, we already mentioned here, is at the end of his kingdom. We understand how David got to this point. You remember when David was just a shepherd boy, faithfully serving his dad, doing the jobs that nobody else wanted to do. And there's David out there in the taking care of the sheep, and Samuel comes because of Saul's great sin. And Samuel makes this quote, you've heard it before, "The Lord had sought him a man after his own heart," talking about David. David was described as a man after God's own heart. I remind you of the Apostle Paul as he preached in Antioch. As his custom was, he would go to the synagogue and he began to preach Christ. And he began to preach that David himself, as he's recounting the history of the nation of Israel. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22 and 23, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them," talking about removing Saul, "he raised them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Now that's important, especially because of this next verse. "Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." You see, the law and the prophets were always pointing to Christ. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. In our text this morning, he's given a charge to the children of Israel. And by way of application, he's given a charge to us today in how you and I live the Christian life. Oh, how we need help. And we think about the things that come into our hearts, the things that come into our lives that distract us from this idea of living the Christian life. So we have to recognize the same message that David is giving here in our text is a constant theme all through the Old Testament, a constant theme all through the New Testament, that you and I, as God's people, we would begin to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul. So the question for us today, am I seeking God? Are you? Are you seeking God? That's the question we have for us. David's giving this command in many ways so that these men would help Solomon. Now, I have to remember, think back to your days as a child, as your parents are given instructions before they would leave the home. No doubt the reason they're giving those instructions is because of past behavior. They remember what you did last time they left with no adult supervision. So this time before they leave, they're going to give you some adult supervision. I grew up with an older brother and sister. They were very mean to me. I'm hoping to get some pity from you with my sorry voice and the fact that I was picked on as the baby of the family. And it was nothing for all three of us. We would agree together that if we got in a fight while mom and dad were gone, we wouldn't tell anybody. And that kind of became our thing. We would scrap it out sometimes. And by the time mom and dad would hit the gravel driveway, we would know, hey, it's time to pick things up and get things back to normal. But some instructions were given because of the behavior that was demonstrated. No doubt David is talking to these men. And he's given them some instructions. Hey, listen, it's time to set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why is that? Why is David giving this instruction? Because clearly these men in the past hadn't really demonstrated that. Even David himself didn't demonstrate that. We saw that in his sin with Bathsheba. So you and I today, I think to put ourselves on equal footing, we have to recognize that we too are prone to wander, as the songwriter would often write. We're prone to wander. David would give his charge. Ultimately, many had already set their souls to seek false gods. Some of these princes had already set their mind, set their heart, they'd already set their heart to seek after the things of the necessities of life at that time. Maybe they thought, well, you know, David, we understand what God's doing in your heart, but as far as us over here, we're good. There's not really a whole lot we want to change about what we're doing, because we kind of feel good where we are. They'd already begun to set their heart towards the things of this world. In many ways, David is calling a team meeting, if you will. He's calling the leaders together to get them on the same page, to share the burden of his heart. By the way, our pastor tonight is going to be sharing the burden of his heart about Friend Day. I can't wait. I can't wait to hear him preach tonight. It's going to be exciting to hear how God's burdened his heart and with us as we reach out into our community and reach out for Friend Day. There's something about the leader standing up and bearing their heart, and that's exactly what David's doing here. Notice at the beginning of his command, it starts with a charge, really an appeal to them, to the leaders, that they would help Solomon. Look at verse number 18. He lays out here four things. Oh, basically of why they should help Solomon. Number one, he points out the fact that they have God's presence. In verse number 18, we see where he asks the question, "Is not the Lord your God with you?" As we read through the Old Testament, as we read through Scripture, and we think about the presence of God, there's something powerful about God's presence. The Bible tells us in Jonah chapter 1 that Jonah fled from the presence of God. Many times we'll hear people say, well, Jonah's great sin was that he disobeyed God. Now, that was a sin, but that was not his greatest sin. No, his greatest sin was that he fled from the presence of God. Then he disobeyed. What I'm just simply saying to you tonight, this morning, is that in and of ourselves, outside of the presence of God, you and I are capable of just about anything. That's why the presence of God is so important. We find early in the book of Genesis chapter 3, it was Adam and Eve who hid themselves from the presence of God in verse number 8. David would go on to write in Psalm 23 how he longed for the presence of God. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." David knew a thing or two about the presence of God. We won't take time to read it. You read Psalm 51, and there's a broken man who knew the presence of God and what that could do in his life. Not only does he appeal to them about God's presence, but he also makes an appeal about God's peace. He says in verse number 18, "And hath he not given you rest on every side?" As we read through the Old Testament, peace in the land is really a blessing, a promise. It's a promise, a blessing for obedience, excuse me. It's a blessing, a promise for obedience. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 15, it says here, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age." It's a blessing of peace upon honoring parents. We find this in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 12. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." It's a promise of blessing for obedience. It's a promise of blessing for honoring our parents. God's peace is something special. Can I just ask you today, are you experiencing God's presence? Are you experiencing God's peace in your life? Next, we see God's power. David appeals to them for God's power. He goes on to write in verse number 18. He says, "Not only did he say, 'Is the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand.'" He's talking about God's power. David knew a thing or two about God's power, did he not? In 1 Samuel, when he fought Goliath, as he's getting ready to, he makes that statement, "Is there not a cause?" And his brothers are kind of upset with him, and so they bring him in front of Saul. I love how David says this in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." David now is speaking to Goliath in chapter 17, verse 45. David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, Remember, David's talking about God's power, and God's power brings great victories. He said, look, you've come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. David knew some things about great victories, God's power bringing great victories. The children of Israel themselves, they knew God's power in the Battle of Jericho as they crossed the Jordan River, that first city that they would take. How God did a great work and the walls of Jericho fell down. So we have God's peace, God's power, God's presence. Next, he appeals to them to consider God with you. And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. God had provided for the children of Israel in the wilderness wanderings. Remember how their clothes didn't wax old? Remember how their shoes stayed on all those 40 years? We read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. God had provided cities and a harvest in the promised land. Joshua 24, 13. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not. And ye dwell in them, and of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. He's making an appeal that they would consider just how good God has been to them. He's asking them to help Solomon with the idea that, hey, listen, I want you to help because God has been good to you. He's given you his presence. He's given you his peace. He's given you his power and his provision. And then as I was studying this, I got so happy. I think about these four things, God's presence and God's peace and God's power and God's provision. Listen, this morning, we find all four of those in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find all four of those in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have God's presence. Jesus said in John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Religion won't get you to heaven today, friend. Christ is the only way. Jesus would go on and talking about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verse 7, talking about God's presence through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Hebrews 13, 5, we have this great promise. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. We, through Christ, we have access to God's presence. Through Christ, we have access to God's peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through Christ, we have access to God's power. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great chapter about the resurrection and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally here, through Christ, we have God's provision. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Based on the promise of these scriptures, we too can agree with David and the princes of Israel that God has been good to us. But here's my question to you. Are you experiencing God's presence today through the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you experiencing God's peace that only he can give through Jesus Christ? Have you experienced God's power in your life and victory over sin? I'm telling you today, well, this is important because we find this right in the middle of our text today because it gets to the heart of the matter. But before we get there, I want you to consider the closing call to action that David gives. He says here, he said, listen, I want you to help my son Solomon. By the way, God's been good to you. He's given you peace. He's given you power, provision, and he's given you his presence. God's done all these things for you. Now I want you to build the sanctuary and bring the Ark of the Covenant and bring the vessels. We see this in verse number 19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord your God. to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord, and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built in the name of the Lord. Did you see that? David lays out a case. He makes an appeal to them. He says, listen, I want you to do this for Solomon. I want you to help him. I had desire to build it, but because of sin in my life, we won't take the time to read it all through chapter 22. David lays it out. Actually, let's look at it real quick. Verse number 6. He called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house under the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. David, I had desire to build it, but God said no. So David, or Solomon, you're going to build it. You're going to lay this out. You're going to build the sanctuary. So he says, hey, listen, because of what God has done here, I want you to do this. He says, build the sanctuary. We won't take time to read it, but you can go back and you understand the sanctuary is the place where God would literally dwell on earth with his people in the Holy of Holies. And the Ark of the Covenant, the Bema Seat of Christ, they would make this Ark of the Covenant in Exodus chapter number 25, verse 22. The Lord says here to Moses, and there I will meet with thee and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the Ark of the Testimony. Of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. This was something special. He says, not only are we going to build a sanctuary, a permanent place where God's going to be, I want you to bring in the Ark of the Covenant. And then he goes on to say, I want you to bring in the vessels because these are vessels of honor. These are vessels that are used in worship. These are vessels that were used in sacrifice. These are vessels that were sanctified for the Lord's work. He says, I want you to do all these things. So we have an appeal and we have a call to action. If that's all we have, there's a little bit of a flaw there. If that's all we have is, David says, hey, listen, I want you to help Solomon do these things because God has been so good to you, and now I want you to do it. If we're not careful, if we follow that pattern without dealing with the heart of the issue, you know what we get? Behavioral modification, where someone is doing something because someone told them to do it. And their heart and their soul is not in it. Now, why is that important? Well, behavioral modification works. Behavioral modification works when our children are young. By the way, I think that's a good pattern to have. Modify their behavior if you have to. I remember Calvin as a toddler, he was giving Amanda a hard time. You find that hard to believe. He was giving her a hard time, and he didn't want to pick up his toys. I mean, he was still a toddler. He still had the fat, chubby hands. And I said, son, pick up your toys. And he just kind of looked at me, as cute as can be, right? He takes after his mother. And I said, son, I'm not going to tell you again. And he didn't do it. So I bent down, and I got a hold of his hand, that little fat, chubby hand, and we had those Legos that were kind of the big Legos, not the big ones. And I grabbed his hand, and I pushed it on that Lego, and we picked it up together. And then we walked over, and we put it in the tub. And then we came back over, and we picked up another one. And we did that until he changed his mind. You see, that works. Listen, that works when they're 2 or 3 years old, behavior modification. That would be a little bit awkward as a high school student, would it not? Especially because now their hands are bony and skinny. You see, if you and I aren't careful today, we can come through these doors of this great church and we can read God's word and sing songs of praise. And we can be taught how to live the Christian life according to God's word. But if all we do is listen to the appeal and then follow through in a call to action, and we haven't addressed the heart of the issue, we just have behavioral modification. And that'll wash out. Jesus said it like this. The rains came, the floods came, and that house went flat, I'm paraphrasing. And great was the fall of it. Great is the fall of it when a young person grows up in this church and walks out the doors and doesn't love God the way they should. As a teenager, I made a decision that I wasn't going to follow the Lord. as a teenager. I walked out and did my own thing. Boy, I'm so thankful for some godly ladies and some godly parents in my life who prayed on my behalf, who loved me unconditionally. So you may recognize today, well, you know what, we did, we had the appeal and we had the compliance, the call to action, but we were lacking at the heart. I'm just simply telling you today, it's not too late. Don't write them off. Keep praying for them. Keep loving on them the way Christ would love on them. If all we have is just the call to the appeal and the call to action, it's a proving ground for bitterness. It's a proving ground for hypocrisy. It's a proving ground for working in the flesh. God help us that we would not get to a point where we're serving week in and week out, where we're working on buses week in and week out, and we're playing instruments in the orchestra week in and week out, and we're in the choir week in and week out, and we're in the pews week in and week out, and we're in a Sunday school class week in and week out, and our heart and our soul have not sought the Lord. You say, why are you getting so fired up about it? Because it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. David is giving this command. He's making this appeal to them. Right in the heart of the matter, I want you to see this in verse number 19. He says here, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. I don't need to do much labor here to understand that. It's very plain. It really is. That phrase, now set, it just simply means to give. It means to yield, to submit. In essence, David says, hey, listen, submit your heart, yield your heart to seek the Lord your God. In Daniel chapter number 9, verse number 3, Daniel says this, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Sir, when was the last time you led your wife to seek the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul? Ma'am, when was the last time you sat down with your children and you led your children on how to seek the Lord with all their heart and all their soul? Teenager, when was the last time you stood on your own two feet and you said, I don't need to be prompted and prodded. I'm going to set my heart and my soul to seek the Lord, my God. I believe God has a desire to do a work. Otherwise, he wouldn't give us this. Set your heart as appealing to your mind or your understanding. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39, the Bible says, now therefore this day, consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. I don't know what brought you in here today. I don't know what your experience has been with the Lord. Maybe you've already began to set your heart, your mind. That's what that's talking about, your heart and your mind. They're one and the same. Maybe you've already began to set your heart and your mind to consider, is Christ really the Messiah? Did he really come and live a sinless life? Did he really do all those miracles that the Bible records? Did he really die on the cross, a brutal death, and bring himself back to life 3 days later? Did he really do all of that? Maybe you've already begun to set your heart to seek the Lord. But can I appeal to you and ask you to set your soul? Your soul deals with your mortality. It deals with your existence, your eternal being. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Bible goes on to say, if I could put these two together, your heart and your soul, in Deuteronomy 5, 6, and 7, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words I command this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You see, the heart and the mind, they speak to the will of man. They speak to what man has considered, what he has seen in his eyes, what he has witnessed. The soul speaks to the way that he would live these things out. It speaks to our faith. Can I remind you what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That means there's no other way to please God without faith. You can do all the good works that you can do, but if you lack faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what the Bible says. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what's the distinctive? Why is it so important to set our heart and our mind? Because when we set, our heart and our soul. When we set our heart and our soul to seek the Lord, our heart begins to tell our mind what to do, and then our soul, because our soul is buried in faith with the Lord, our soul begins to say, listen, we're going to follow through with it, because even when it gets tough, we're going to continue to do it because our faith demands it. Because we've sought the Lord with all of our soul. I want to read a couple verses here about seeking the Lord. And I want you to begin to ask yourself, am I seeking God? Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Psalm 105, verse 4, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face forevermore. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and verse 7, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Friend, can I tell you, he's in here tonight, this morning. He's here. He's near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Luke 11:10, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Can I tell you today, what do we do with this message? Number one, we set our hearts and we set our souls no matter what others are doing around us. There's a story, we won't go back and read all of it here, in 2 Chronicles, where Rehoboam is taking the southern kingdom and Jeroboam is in the northern kingdom, the tribes to the north, and he's got 180,000 men. And he's getting ready to go to war against, in many ways, against his own brothers, the 10 tribes. And there's a man of God, Shemaiah by name. And Shemaiah says, hey, listen, you're not supposed to go to war. So they decided not to go to war. And throughout this time, the Levites have been scattered across Israel. And Jeroboam had set up priests in the high places, and they're beginning to worship these false gods. I want you to listen to this verse in 2 Chronicles 11:16, talking about the Levites and how they made a decision, how they set their heart, no matter what others were doing around them. 2 Chronicles 11:16, and after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. They looked around, they looked at what others were doing, and they said, that's not right. We're going to set our heart to the Lord, and they went to Jerusalem. So we're gonna set our hearts to the Lord no matter what others are doing around us. Number two here, we're gonna set our hearts on something or someone. It might as well be the Lord. What better decision could we make? In 2 Chronicles 17:3-4, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father. See, some were seeking to Balaam, and he said, look, I'm gonna seek after God. We're all gonna seek something. You may not be leading the kingdom today, but can I remind you, you are leading your own life. If you're a married couple here today, you're leading your family. You're leading your children. Some of you, many of you have grandchildren. You're leading your grandchildren. You have coworkers, people you work with, they're watching you. Yeah, some of you teach in a Sunday school class, you're leading in that capacity. Some of you minister to bus riders, you're leading in that capacity. It's time that we would set our heart and our soul to seek the Lord. Set your heart and your soul to seek God at a young age. Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11 says, wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I thought this was exciting. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, we read about Josiah. He was 8 years old when he became king. And the Bible says here, in the first three verses here, I'm going to find a pickup, probably verse number 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the eighth year of his reign, that means he's 16 years old, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. I'm reminded of our pastor's testimony, how he said as a junior in high school, God began to impress upon his heart a love for the Word of God, and began to faithfully be reading the Word of God. Boy, can I just encourage you tonight, this morning, that you would set your heart and your soul to seek God at a young age. We have, in closing, I want to share with you some Bible examples. Turn to Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter number 39, you know the story. Joseph has been sold into slavery, and he's serving there at Potiphar, and it seemed like every time he turned around, bad things were happening to him, but yet he was still faithful and serving the Lord. I believe that Joseph would be a good Bible illustration of someone who set their heart and their soul to seek the Lord their God. Look with me in verse number 8. Potiphar's wife had some eyes for Joseph, and she's trying to lay with him. She's trying to have a relationship with him. Listen to his response in verse number 8 of Genesis chapter 39. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." Listen to what he says here. "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You do know that Joseph didn't have the law yet. Moses hadn't written that yet, but yet he knew this would be a sin against Almighty God, because he set his heart and his soul to seek the Lord. We find another example of Daniel chapter number 1, verse number 8. Daniel purposed in his heart, you know the story, how he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat or the king's wine. He purposed in his heart. We go on to read in chapter 3 of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they purposed in their heart. They said, "Look, we don't care what everybody else is going to do. They can worship the idol, but we're not going to. We're not going to bow. We're not going to bend." And they didn't burn. That's in there. You read it in there. These are just living examples. You and I today, we set our hearts to all kinds of things, don't we? Come on. We do. We set our hearts to all kinds of things, whether it's hobbies, sports, schooling, children, family. None of those things are wrong. None of those things are wrong. We got to set our heart to them. We got to plan some things to those things. We lay out plans all the time. If you're going to go play a round of golf, you're going to get a tee time. You're going to try to find a couple friends at least to play with you. I advise you to find friends who aren't as good as you. You have a lot more fun playing that way. I think that's why some people ask me to play golf sometimes. I don't know. You're going to set your heart to it. You're going to find a tea time. You're going to find a place. You're going to find time. You're going to move things around at work so you can do it. You understand? You've set your heart to it. We're going to, if you're going to hunt, you're going to fish. I have every desire in my heart to get me a steelhead fish out of the Rocky River this fall. I'm not a fisherman, so we'll have to see how that works. But I'm going to set my heart to it. I'm going to plan it. I've talked to my father-in-law. I think he loves me and cares about me. I think he's going to help me. But I'm going to schedule some time, and we're going to try to get out there, and we're going to do that. So some of you ladies, you're constantly setting your heart. My wife and I, we talk, and she's like, "Honey, you don't understand. You know, you go to sleep, and you go to sleep." She's like, "I lay in bed, and I begin to think about the week and how things are going to go and what I got to do tomorrow and what I got to do the next day and how things are going to work for the kids." Ladies, is my wife the only one that thinks like that? You're constantly thinking. You're constantly setting your heart. I'll never forget the day my wife and I bought our house. We moved in, and Calvin was just in a little walker, I guess, what you call it. And we're putting furniture around, and I had my bachelor furniture, which is big, wide, lazy couches. And we got this little living room, and it was tight. Boy, it was real tight. But it's our house. It's our first house. This is a big deal. I'm so excited. As a man, I mean, I'm feeling good. This is a house. This is what men do. Men buy houses for their families. And my wife is sitting there, and she's a little emotional, and I just can't take it when she cries. If she cries, forget about it. I just can't do it. I'm so glad she doesn't manipulate that, because she could get pretty much whatever she wanted. But I noticed she was a little teary-eyed, and that's, she's overwhelmed. Yeah. She's got it so good. I mean, look at where I found her, and look where I brought her. This big house on 2118 Loxley Road, built in 1929. Not a big house. And she said to me, and she begins to cry. She says, where's, she said, the couch, she goes, the living room's too small. What? I mean, this, we're doing grown-up things here. We're buying a house. What do you mean, too small? I mean, talk about the attack. I mean, come on, what's, we're, this is what we do. And I said, what do you mean it's too small? And she said, well, Calvin's not going to have anywhere to move his little walker around. Isn't that just like her? She's always thinking about those kids. You know why? Because she set her mind to it. Her set her heart to it. Listen, you and I set our hearts and minds to everything. Those things aren't bad. But David's appeal to the men of the princes of Israel, God's appeal to you and I today, is that we would set our hearts to seek the Lord. That we would set our souls to seek the Lord. You may be here today and you've never set your soul to seek God. Can I invite you today, in just a few moments, we're going to have what we call a moment of invitation, where I'll offer a prayer and some final comments, and we'll have people come down up front, and these people are going to be, they've been walking with the Lord this week. They're prayed up, and they're ready to serve. And they've got their Bible ready, and they're hoping to answer any questions that you have. And if you don't know where your soul is going to spend eternity, will you come down and talk to them? Because they'll show you the Bible, how you can repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Savior. And you can begin today, to set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Some in here, the husbands and wives, need to maybe come together, come down here and make a commitment together that they're going to begin seeking the Lord and setting their heart and soul to seek the Lord. Commitment's a funny thing, isn't it? I told my wife I was going to try to lose some weight. She never gave me a hard time about any food I've ever eaten before in all my days. Never. She's never told me, honey, you've had too much. She's never done that to me. But as soon as I made a commitment to her that I wanted to lose weight, you know what she started to do? She started to hold me accountable. And I tried to blame it on her because she's cooking so good. That didn't work either. But some of you husbands need to come down and make a commitment in front of your wife, because she can help you be accountable. Because God has given her to you to be a help, meet for you, a help. What does it mean to set your heart and to set your soul to seek the Lord your God? Maybe there's a commitment for Bible reading that needs to be made today. You can certainly make these commitments in your pew. There's no doubt about it. I will not limit God to these stairs. I know that. Please understand that. You can make that commitment right there. You can just grab someone's hand sitting next to you, hopefully it's somebody you know, and say, pray with me, I want to make a commitment to begin today to start setting my heart and my soul to seek the Lord your God. There's some grandparents in here, and your grandchildren, they love you. Some of your grandchildren, you're the last name that crosses their lips before they go to sleep because they're praying for Papa. They love you. And you need to set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God because they're watching. Maybe it'd be good just to make a commitment. Well, I'm not talking about fill out paperwork and stand up and applause, all these kinds of things. No, I'm just talking about maybe just a quietness of the moment. Come down and make a commitment together. Quietness of the moment in your seat. Make a commitment together. Yeah, I think it's time. I think it's time to set our heart and our soul to seek the Lord your God. What does it mean? What does it mean for us as believers? Well, very simply, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Lord showed me some things as I studied this out. that I hadn't quite set my heart the way I should have set my heart to seek the Lord my God. There's some things I need to do, some soul searching, and ask God to help me to strengthen my faith so that I would set my soul to seek the Lord my God. Being very transparent with you tonight, today, being very transparent with you. How about you? How about you? Would you stand with us? Heads bowed, eyes closed.